Hey, I know. I'll use my trusty frying pan as a drying pan.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Out of the Drying Pan, a Pokemon the Series podcast, where each week we discuss two episodes of the Pokemon series anime or whatever other random stuff happens to pop into our heads. Just a quick reminder, we are an E for explicit podcast, so listener discretion is advised. I am your host, Alex, and I am joined today on this extra hour of a day by my co-host, Austin.
You know these episodes don't come out the day that we record them, correct?
As of recording this, it is daylight savings time is over.
Can you imagine if the turnaround was like one day? Like I was able to like just, I didn't edit it at all and it'd be a fucking disaster.
I just want to also let everybody know that today is World Jellyfish Day.
Okay, so apparently today it's just November 3rd. We're just going to pretend this is coming out November 3rd. Today is also Godzilla's birthday.
Is it really?
Yeah, apparently.
Oh my gosh. Oh, and also, I think it's the third. Let me look it up really quick. I think it's the 15th anniversary of Dragon Age Origins.
Oh, what else is November 3rd? Let's just find out. This is the November 3rd cast.
Yeah, it's November 3rd, 2009 is when Dragon Age Origins came out in North America. Happy birthday, Dragon Age. I love you so much.
Today is also National Homemaker Day.
National Homemaker Day?
National Sandwich Day.
Oh, I love sandwiches.
Cliche Day. Huh. Culture Day Japan. Is that because of Godzilla? Just kidding. Dominican Independence Day. Give someone a dollar day.
Give me a dollar, Austin.
No. Okay, so it's National Homemaker Day and National Wife or Housewife Day.
Is there like, I just, now that you've said that and also it's Sandwich Day, I feel like there's a really sexist implication.
Oh, I didn't think of that.
Like, Homemaker Day and also Sandwich Day. Make me a sandwich.
Well, there's also Smart Home Day, like the Amazon Alexa.
What the fuck? We've become so much of a... I mean, the capitalistness of it all is just killing this country.
You know what I'm so excited about since it's November 3rd?
What?
The presidential U.S. election happening in 2 days.
Are we excited? I don't think excited is the word I would use. We have two more days. Well, as of... Oh my god. As of when this comes out, we'll know the future of our lives. Let's hear a fun jellyfish fact. Here's an interesting fact. Jellyfish are largely 95% water. They don't even have a brain. They glow in the dark. That's cool. Do you want to know what a group of jellyfish is called?
A sandwich.
That would be interesting, but no. It's called a bloom, a swarm, or a smack. That last one's interesting. Okay, that's about as much interesting things as I can talk about jellyfish.
All right, so the next thing we mentioned was Godzilla's birthday. So it's the 70th anniversary.
Happy birthday, Godzilla.
They announced a sequel to Godzilla Minus One.
They did?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we have to go see it.
It'll have my most favorite Godzilla kaiju, Ghidorah.
Who's my favorite? My favorite is... It is cliche day. I'm going to do a cliche. I'm going to say Mothra.
Ooh, Mothra's a good one. Sadly, I do not have a figurine of Mothra.
That is a real travesty, Austin.
But I do have one of Ghidorah.
What is it? It's a... Like, looks like a swamp monster.
Exactly.
Ew, he's ugly in a cute way. So what's the deal with him? What's his backstory?
It's sludge and pollution that forms into little tadpoles. And then all the tadpoles combine into a big evil tadpole.
Is he evil?
Yeah.
Oh no. Who is Godzilla's best friend?
Anguirus.
Anguirus. I learned about Anguirus the other week from Austin. I had never heard of this before.
I'm having a Godzilla phase at the moment.
It's okay. We all go through that.
Okay, anyway, you want to see the Godzilla Digimon?
Yes, I do. All right, Austin is putting something in the chat. What is this? It looks like Mecha Greymon or War Greymon or whatever.
I don't know. Does it have a name?
Does he? You would know better
it
than
me. It just
says
a Godzilla version of War Greymon. Okay.
Oh, well, no wonder. Okay. I was like, the gauntlet thing and the feet. I mean, they all look the same, but Godzilla version of War Greymon. Sure. Is this a fan art or is this like real?
This is official.
But he doesn't have a name.
Not one that's been announced yet.
Huh. Oh, so he's new.
Yeah, so.
Ooh.
Digimon will do anything with anyone. Can you imagine if Pokemon approached Digimon and was like, we want to do a crossover? They'd go ballistic.
Wish.
They'd be so over the moon with happiness.
Pokemon would never, because they're so litigious and like they absolutely don't even let like people draw fan art if they can help it. So
oh, absolutely not. They don't let people do podcasts.
I'm sure we've broken how many rules on doing this podcast.
No, we haven't. Now it's not in the Mint of Guild. No, we haven't.
That's cool. Well, happy birthday, Godzilla. Happy birthday, Dragon Age. This is a very...
Happy birthday, Jellyfish.
Happy birthday, Jellyfish.
Happy birthday, Housewives.
And those sandwiches. Happy birthday, sandwiches.
Happy birthday, Daylight Savings Time. I fucking hate you and I wish you would die.
Well, we're back to the normal time now.
Okay, well, I'm glad it's over. Fuck Daylight Savings Time.
Yeah, so we're back to normal, and, well, at least for the next couple days. Again, we'll report back in a week.
You've been playing your game, talk about it, and then we can move on.
Oh my gosh, I can't, you can't open this door, because I would talk about
it. Okay, I'm gonna give you a timer. Hold on. How many minutes do you want to talk about this?
It's okay, I'll do a very brief summary. I started the game, I spent like 5 hours in character creation, I'm still not 100% satisfied with the character. The character creator is really hard to use because it's like a blend and morph system instead of sliders. It's a learning curve. I will say the level design is my absolute favorite thing so far. I think the environments are gorgeous. It's absolutely just a beautiful game. I'm still getting used to some of like the, I don't know, quality of life differences between the games. But I think partially like it has been 10 years since the last one. So we need to move into the future. It's obviously not going to be the exact same thing. I can definitely see how it's a direct sequel. Like, people have been complaining incessantly like they do, or at least some groups on the internet. Yes, there's some gameplay elements that it's going to take some time to get used to it, but I'm just happy we got a fourth game, and it feels really surreal after 10 years to be saying, like, there's a new game. So I'm just absolutely tickled. I love it. It's a really fun experience so far. People say that, the positive camps of people are saying it really picks up and gets better. I'm sure I'm not emotionally prepared in any form because I've heard there's some hard decisions to make in the game. And I'm like, I don't know if I want to even get there, but I'm excited. I remember sitting in my college dorm room playing Inquisition for the first time. And now I have that same feeling again 10 years later. And it's just great. It's really great. Maybe we can do a bonus episode on Dragon Age. So hopefully I'll have some more time to play it later. I have some errands I have to run today. And I feel like a friggin' addict. I'm like itching because I'm like, I don't want to go out and do real life stuff. I want to sit here and play my game.
I can't believe you're even doing this podcast. I can't believe I managed to convince you.
I thought it was the healthy thing to do. So the episodes this week are Polytogiso and The Ice Cave.
Is this when we do the disclaimer about Jinx, or do I do that later?
Let's just talk about Polytoad and then we can talk about Jinx.
Okay, yeah, put it out of our minds.
Let's just get there when we get there.
Heads or tails?
I'm always tails, you know this.
All right, you're doing 30 seconds.
Oh my god, that means I have to talk about the Jinx episode.
All right, get ready. 3, 2, 1, go.
Another day, another lakeside picnic. So, after Cyndaquil almost chokes to death on a rice ball, Polytoad, they all fall asleep because, the danger's past. Polytoad wanders off at some point, though, and gets kidnapped by a girl named Tammy, who wants Polytoad to take over her cheerleading routine so she can enter the cheerleading national competition. Tammy is a horrible bitch. She's so mean, and she berates her Pokemon until they fucking cry, and then realizes the error of her ways after some time, and, Yeah, Politoed gets back with the dwarves.
Okay, did you ever watch the Netflix docuseries Cheer?
I didn't even know that existed.
It was a big deal at the time. I'll come back to that. Today, all the Torps Pokemon are at a lakeside picnic. So, of course, when that happened, I had to be like, is Goldeen here? So...
Oh my god, Goldeen was not there.
I scanned the surface of the water. There was no Goldeen. And Goldeen's best friend, Staryu, also was not there. Do you know who else was MIA?
Well, let me think. I didn't really pay too close of attention. I saw Onix. I saw Crobat.
I rewound like 3 times, clocking everyone. I'm like a goddamn shepherd dog. Being like, are all the sheep here?
Bayleaf was there. Totodile. Cyndaquil. Noctowl.
Correct. Noctowl was not there.
God, that's so unfair that they only let out certain ones and the other ones have to be confined to their Pokeball.
Who else was not there?
Corsola? No. I wasn't paying that close of attention. I don't know. Who else wasn't there?
Pineco.
Oh my god, we haven't seen Pineco in a long time?
I think they forgot about it.
I forgot about it. Oh shit.
That's a big problem that I think later Pokemon series are going to start addressing. Some more than others. Is that the Twerps are really bad about giving all their Pokemon time in the sun.
Literally time in the sun.
Literally time in the sun.
They need to learn from my mistakes and actually go outside and get some vitamin D. Actually, I will just say, just rewinding real quick, you'll be proud of me. I did go for a walk yesterday, Austin. I got some sunshine on my face, so.
Oh, gross, sunburns. I know. Anyway, some mischief happens. Cyndaquil nearly dies. What the fuck was the point of that?
I don't know why they... I thought that was going to be part of the plot. Like, oh, this is going to kick off some kind of something or other. But it literally didn't go anywhere.
Filling for time. Politoed is sitting there clapping. And then eventually everyone's asleep except for Pineco, Noctowl. What are you laughing at?
I'm sorry. I was just thinking, is Politoed the new Togepi in that it delights in personal suffering and near-death experiences?
There's something going on with Misty's Pokemon.
Why are they so, like, psychopathic? I mean, they're just literally, there is something wrong with them.
Well, Politoed is so dumb that it wakes up while everyone else is sleeping and drops an Onigiri that rolls down a hill. Are they able to do that? I don't think they could be able. I guess.
Maybe.
That seems unrealistic to me.
It was a very glossy hillside, so.
Okay. So Politoed runs into some bushes to catch the jelly donut. And a random girl appears and says, there you fucking are, you little piece of shit frog. Come with me right now. She grabs it by the throat and drags it.
I feel like for all you listeners out there, you might think to yourself, aha, Austin, silly Austin, that's such hyperbole. There's no way she said anything like that. Think again. She practically did.
Her tone was implying.
That this girl, look, I hope I wasn't too harsh in the 30 seconds by calling this girl a bitch, but she was a bitch.
Well, we're going to get back to that. The Twerps steal a Team Rocket for like 5 seconds. It's the usual pitfall bullshit. And then a Politoed wanders by, and Team Rocket's like, oh yeah, the Twerps Politoed. The Twerps blast off Team Rocket, and Misty realizes that's not her Politoed. Her Politoed is much stupider than this Politoed.
Also, this one has a headband on, and it sounds completely different. The voices are very, very different.
This Politoed, like, chain smokes a pack, like, 7 packs a day.
Politoed.
Wait, isn't our Politoed the deeper voiced Politoed, and then this one's more of the croaky... froggy.
Oh, is it?
Politoed, yeah.
They sounded distinct.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Like, ours is like, Politoed, like a deep...
Well, I guess our Politoed chain smokes. It's all that Salveo weed.
Yeah.
So this Politoed with the red headband that exists so we can visually signify it is Bean.
I, had a false memory. I think we talked about this last time. I thought this was shiny, but there is no shiny Politoed that exists in the anime, so...
I wish it was shiny.
Bean. Where does the name Bean come from?
I guess it kind of looks like a bean. Like the body shape of it. If you cut off its legs.
What?
And the tight arms.
If you cut off all its limbs.
Yeah, it looks like a bean. Well, okay. So it turns out you can't cut off the arms of a Politoed. Because the arms of a Politoed are the most important part. Because, as we know, our Politoed likes to clap. And that creates a metronome effect. So this girl takes our Politoed whilst in the middle of berating it. She takes it to all her grass types. She has some Sunflora, some Blossom, and some of the always overlooked Jumpluff.
Why do we keep having so many fucking grass type dancing competition. I'm so sick of it. I'm sorry.
Because this episode needs to happen. As I was saying, Politoed's clapping next to the metronome for all these Graphsite Pokemon to do their, like, cheerleader routine, which is really bad. I think at this point she realizes this isn't her bean. This is not her bean. But she's tired of flicking her own bean, and so now it's time to flick someone else's.
I was just waiting for when that joke was gonna happen.
I couldn't figure out a good way to put it in, so I just threw it in the first possibility I could.
It had to happen.
Yes. So the twerps wander up, because they found this loud cheerleading place, no problem. Why does she have her own facility, by the way?
Is this like, I was confused, was this her home, or was this like a rec center, or, because it was very, like, opulent looking.
It looks like a public building or of some sort, or like a business.
What is the architectural style of this? It's very strange.
You know what's funny is I didn't question it until right now.
Well, they never go inside of it, so I guess it really doesn't matter. She's just using the courtyard of the place.
Maybe it is like a public space and it's like the weekend and she's just using it.
Perhaps.
But did you ever feel weird going to like the school grounds on a weekend and no one's there?
Yeah, I've always felt like I was trespassing.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to be there. Like, having to go to school or go to the school for something when you weren't obligated to be there was always a weird feeling.
Ash sees all these people, or rather all these plants, who are at the school when it's a weekend. And Ash is like, what they doing? Missy's like, cheerleading. Ash is like, what's a cheerleader?
What was this exchange? Like,
this was so dumb.
Was Ash having a stroke? Because I feel like it's pretty obvious. Well, maybe it's not so obvious. Maybe I'm being too harsh on Ash because their cheerleading routine was pretty lame.
Oh, fair enough. Fair enough. Maybe he didn't mean like, what's a cheerleader? He was like, that's not cheerleading.
And he's like, I've never seen a routine like that. What the hell?
Regardless, we get like a whole montage of cheerleaders for some reason.
You know, maybe it's like sports are to us as cheerleading is to Ash. Because like, you could say words to me like touchdown and like quarterback. And I'm like, that's the only thing I really know about football.
Pause. What do you think a touchdown is?
When they score the goal on the other end of the field.
Yes! So this girl's name is Tammy. So Tammy is all on board with her new Politoed that she has stolen from Misty. And she lets Bean stand in the corner and sulk for a while. There's a funny quote, but I'm going to save it.
Really? I was struggling for quotes this episode.
Oh, I have so many quotes.
Damn, okay.
Shit. Bean wanders off to go flick himself, and Ash and Pikachu follow him. There's some tomfoolery when Pikachu does some funny faces to make Bean laugh, but it doesn't work. It makes Ash laugh. Cut back to Tammy, who the grass Pokemon, fail at a routine, and they all fall to the ground in a big pile, and they're all injured and need medical attention. So Tammy says, you worthless pieces of shit! You fucking flower sluts! How dare you! This is my dream to win the cheerleading competition! All of you need to go fucking shoot yourselves because you're just as worthless as a corpse as you are as a living flower! How dare you? Look at Politoed. This Politoed is helping us. It's doing a good job clapping its hands, and you're all shit. I hate you all. God. Your mother should have aborted all of you. Oh, that's what she says.
Trigger warning. After the fact. Yeah, she is just an ugly person. She is ugly. And all because she admit, like, oh, I just want to win because I want to be famous.
Yeah, they ask her, what's your motivation here? She says, I just want to be famous. Because if I'm famous, I can go on to be even more famous.
So, wait, does she have any level of, like, notoriety now, or?
Apparently not. She's working in at a office building parking lot.
This girl is absolutely insane. Like, some of the other things she had said earlier was, like, to Bean when he was, like, looking so dejected and sad because she's literally kidnapped and is using this other Politoed. She's like, you've been replaced. Get used to it. And then he, like, wanders off. That's when he wanders off. But, like, this was just awful.
So, this is actually the truest depiction that we've ever seen of reality in this anime. Because...
I know, it was really too real.
I'm speaking out of my ass here, like I never do. My understanding is cheerleading is like this. This is what cheerleading is like. If you are cheerleading on a competitive level, it is the most aggressive level of sports you can have is my understanding.
I mean,
there are that cheer documentary I was talking about.
Oh,
The whole thing is, like, these coaches are insane people.
I just can't understand the mentality behind the pushing yourself until you are physically, till you're, like, on your knees crawling with the effort, like, exertion. Like, it's kind of like American beauty pageants or something. Like, this living vicariously through the kids. Like, you're gonna fucking do this right, oh, goddammit. Okay. Like, that kind of thing. Like,
that's what you mean. Okay.
Yeah, like the...
I thought you were saying, like, the level of exertion
was the same. No, like, what are you talking about? The mentality, and I guess it's true with any sport, but, like, the mentality of it's very exploitative. It's very, you're going to do this, and you're going to be absolute perfection, and if you're not, you're just worthless garbage. Like, you got to win, 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 no matter what. And it's always these people that couldn't do it. If you've ever watched, like, beauty pageants or cheerleading competitions, it's, like, the people pushing them, I'm like, okay, let's see you fucking get up there and do it then.
I can't speak about this, but that's just my understanding of cheerleading culture, is that it's fucking cutthroat.
Yeah, well, maybe we are speaking out of our asses, but I feel like there's a thread of truth in there.
We have a lot of people who are listening to this who are very sports cultured. We know this because at one point you said, I don't think a single person can listen to this, like, sports. And then, like, 20 people reached out and were like, I like sports.
So there is a level of bias here. Sorry, not sorry.
This Tammy girl is abusive, and Misty and Brock walk up, and I think they're way too nice. Because they're like, what are you doing, Tammy? What you doing there, Tammy? What are you doing? And Tammy talks about how much she wants to be famous. Misty and Politoed try to cheer up the Pokemon, and it works because they're simple-minded plants. And when Tammy sees this, she pulls another famous abuser tactic that we all know, which is she starts to cry crocodile tears, or croconaw tears, I suppose. And she makes everything about herself. She makes herself out to be a martyr, and everyone has to forgive her for stepping over her bounds so that she can resume her abusive behaviors, but then gaslight you into thinking that she's not doing that.
I'm glad that you pointed that out, because I have a bullet point here that says, like, she claims to understand her selfishness and breaks down crying, but in the end, she's the one that gets surrounded and comforted by the ones who were abused.
Mm-hmm.
Which...
funny how that works. Mm-hmm.
If anybody here has ever had a narcissist in their life...
we both have, actually.
That's why this episode, like, just to pause really quick, like, this episode was, it made me feel uncomfortable.
It, like, was triggering.
It was, like, triggering.
Genuinely.
Like, and I'm saying this, like...
maybe we should put a trigger warning on this podcast episode, actually.
Probably should, to be honest with you.
I'm treating this very flippantly, because it's a cartoon.
Well, we're deflecting it, because we all have our, we each have our own experiences with a narcissist and dealing with these behaviors in our life. And so... to be completely honest, like, I know this is a kid's cartoon, but this was a triggering episode for me, and it made me really uncomfortable, because I'm like, there's been so many times where I've had this, to deal with this, and it's like, whew.
Oh, just you wait till we get to the Jirachi movie.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God. Fuck that movie. Anyway, that's a little preview for next year.
Do you think maybe this was, like, catharsis for somebody, like, on the writing team? Like, I'm gonna write about this.
No, because...
well, they didn't... no, like, nah, because they didn't handle it very well.
No, they handled it poorly. They handled it realistically, possibly, but I don't think they intended that.
Yeah.
I think this was... no thought went into this whatsoever. Because the rest of the episode is a Team Rocket attack.
Oh, you're right.
Fuck nuance. Team Rocket's here. So, I wrote, like, no notes. Team Rocket have a Mecha Politoed that has pom-poms.
The Mecha Politoed was super cute.
Did you like its tongue?
The sticky tongue was a little bit extra, but I have to applaud Popular Pokemon Magazine for churning this thing out in, like, 10 minutes. Like, how did this happen? I don't know.
I think maybe Tammy works for Popular Pokemon Magazine, and she had this ready to go to replace Bean at a moment's notice. They got this out of the building. They were next to. That's what that building is used for, storage.
For the Popular Pokemon Magazine mecha parts?
Yeah.
It's so clear now.
Team Rocket attack. Ash and Pikachu come up. Team Rocket have a lot of good lines.
I didn't write anything. Jesus.
God, I had like four in a row.
You're better at isolating these.
So the Politoeds drench them in water and Pikachu shocks them and they blow up and fly away. I guess now Bean is friends with Tammy? I don't know how that happened.
I think she just convinces Bean to come back because she's like some bullshit of like, I've seen the error of my ways and I let my desire to win cloud my better judgment and it, you know, made it the most singularly important thing in my life. And all I want to do is just win this competition, Bean, and can't you understand that? And if you could just come back and help me and help us, because, you know, this is all of us, not just me. You guys want this too, of course, if you've forgotten that. Just come back and help us achieve our goals, because you want to achieve the goal too, don't you, Bean? And Bean is like so friggin' abused and manipulated that he's like, yeah, of course I'll come back and help. And then that's where we leave it. And instead of calling like Pokemon CPS or something, they just fuck off.
Well, that was way more dialogue than Tammy said, because whatever she said, I didn't even notate it.
What was just about the, that was the gist of it.
All right. Yeah. Well, you've been putting a lot of words in Tammy's mouth today.
No, Tammy, she said, okay, but that's a classic abuser thing. They say a little bit, but they mean a lot.
Mm-hmm. Mm, good point.
So
we're way more verbose than this bitch. So it's pretty rare for me to call a female character a bitch,
I know,
on the show,
but this is one time. I feel bad because, you know, we don't want to shame people and use such negative terminology to describe, you know, sexist terminology to describe a female character. However,
if I'm saying bitch, it's a sign of affection. Not for Tammy.
Yes, bitch. Not like that. She's
not for Tammy.
She is a broken person who needs to reevaluate herself and the way she treats people under her care, tutelage, whatever. She's obviously in a position of power as the trainer, and she treats her Pokemon like absolute garbage, berates them. I mean, and here's another thing, just another thing, and we can move on. If she's berating them in front of people, strangers, what do you think she's doing behind closed doors?
That's what I said in my notes. I said the twerps leave, and the abuse cycle ramps up in their absence. This is going to be, Bean's going to suffer so much for this day.
This is another thing about abuse, is when you embarrass people or force them to show off their true colors, you can only imagine the hell. It's going to be tenfold worse than what it was before, because, oh my god, I can't deal with it.
Well, who's our LVP going to be? I wonder. MVP, LVP, in quote.
Did we get too dark with that? I think maybe we put a...
No, I think we got realistic about it. I think we were keeping it real.
Our own personal trauma and demons informed our opinions on this episode. If it wasn't clear, who's first? MVP, LVP, in quote.
I don't know. Let's take 30 minutes while Google does the coin flip.
Why does it take so long to flip when it already knows the answer?
Okay, you're first.
Well, I think I'm just going to go ahead and state the obvious. And honestly, if this is one of those episodes where we do a consensus vote, I'll be okay with that.
Yeah, I'll co-sign.
I think that's only fair. Tammy, of course. And there needs to be no explanation. I think we summed it up pretty well. She's just a very manipulative and abusive person who shouldn't really own Pokemon. But anyway, my MVP is going to be... Oh my god, who even deserves it in this episode? Brock.
Okay.
For his Sally Field moment at the beginning that he had.
Wait, what?
When Ash is like, oh my god, Brock, these are so good, these rice balls. And he's like, oh my god, you really like them. Oh. You really like them.
I wish they could have gotten him to say the exact quote.
I wish. I think they were trying. Like, it really invoked the Sally Field at the Oscars moment for me, so.
The lip flaps, I'm sure, were a limiter on that.
Yeah, I think that they wanted to, that was the vibe they were going for, because I'm like, Brock, you're so full of yourself. Like, of course people have praised your cooking before and you know you're good at it, but I just love that. And my quote, which I didn't have a lot of, somehow Austin seems to have like a plethora, but I don't have a lot.
Do you want me to send you one?
I have one. It's more of a scene, but whatever. When Team Rocket is trying to convince Bean to join Team Rocket and sign their Team Rocket contract, which I love that. James says, we're a one-stop fun shop. And Meowth says, 2 days off each week with pay. Jesse says, a pension plan that's second to none. James says, with limitless opportunities for advancement. And Meowth says, and a Christmas party that'll knock your headband off.
I knew you were going to take that one. Why? I don't know how I knew, but I knew. I thought of you when I heard that quote. I didn't even write it down because I knew you were going to pick it.
Is it so obvious? I think it's obvious by now that it tickles me every single time they talk about Team Rocket as like a real corporation or institution that they praise the benefits of, like, their, you know, pension plan, a 401k, and
they have an HR department.
They have an HR department. I fucking love it. It's so cute. They love what they do. They love working there.
My quote is going to be the one I alluded to earlier.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really funny. I have a bunch of, like, one-liners, but this isn't really one. Tammy says, talking about her Politoed, "I got pretty angry before, and so Bean ran away." And Misty says, "But it's back now, so can't it practice with you guys again?" And Tammy just says, "No." And it's like dot, 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 dot. And then she turns to the grass types and says, "Well, break time's over. Now back to work."
It gave Mean Girls. You can't sit with us.
I was actually thinking of a Very Brady sequel.
Oh my god, you bring up a Very Brady sequel all the time.
I love a Very Brady. It's where Sure Jan comes from.
That's the literally only thing I know about that movie.
Oh my god, well, it's another Jan line.
Sure Jan.
Because at the very, spoilers for a Very Brady sequel.
Oh my god.
After Jan finds the real George Glass, Marsha walks up and says, "I'm really happy for you, Jan." And Jan says, "Really?" And Marsha says, "No."
Oh my god. Okay.
I love those fucking movies. And I love those movies before they were memes. I'm just saying, I love those movies since the fucking 90s.
Okay,
so camp fucking classics.
Austin's the original Brady sequel cheerleader.
Both of them.
I guess you've convinced me. I would watch it. I would watch it.
Oh my god, really? We have to watch the Brady Bunch movie.
How much background do I need to know?
Because none. Don't know, you don't need to know. You'll figure it out.
Okay, because I literally don't know anything.
It's almost nothing but references to the Brady Bunch. Like, that's the whole gag. But, like, it's, you'll know.
Okay.
It's not exactly high art.
Okay. All right.
Sorry, I got really loud because I'm talking about the Brady Bunch movie.
Austin gets
excited. This is not going to be our bonus episode.
Oh my god. Well, everybody gets their own bonus episode, right? You know, we talked about Skyrim, we talked about Dragon Ball Z, we've talked about, well, we can talk about Dragon Age, and then you can talk about the Brady Bunch.
All right, so everyone go to the Patreon in the year 2094 when Alex finishes our next bonus episode. All right, my MVP.
Well, you know, support us on Patreon. You know, if we get more support, then it'd be like, okay, wow, you really like us. You really, really like us. And then we'll do more bonus stuff.
My MVP is going to be Sally Field because everyone gives her a lot of shit for that moment. But you know what? You live for you, Sally.
I feel like that was a really humanizing moment. Even celebrities have moments of anxiety and self-doubt. And
everyone got the quote wrong. So
what is the real quote?
I don't remember exactly what her whole speech is about. But the moment everyone's thinking of it, she says, "But right now, you like me," which isn't as good.
So it's not, "You like me, you really like me"?
No, she never said that.
God damn it. This is another "Luke, I am your father" bullshit moment.
It's a classic example of that, actually. In fact, I probably said it wrong, but it was more to that effect.
I like it better our way.
"And I can't deny the fact that you like me right now. You like me."
Okay, so I already said my LVP. Next episode.
All right. Now we have the... Okay, so this episode is called The Ice Cave, and I think we need to give a little bit of context to this episode. So, Austin, what do you know about this?
I did not look at Bulbapedia because...
We're not allowed.
We're not allowed anymore. I did look at Bulbapedia a little bit, though, I will say.
Cheater.
Because... What?
Cheater.
I did confirm via Bulbapedia that the Ice Path in Gold and Silver is called the Ice Path in Japanese, right?
I believe so.
So this is the Ice Cave. So not quite the Ice Path, but basically the Ice Path.
It's the same idea.
Same fucking thing. It's the episode that was not dubbed into English at all. And you want to know why? Three guesses. It's because we have Jinx in her original design, in which she resembles a blackface minstrelsy character.
And very offensive.
Right. I had a whole spiel about this that was very awkwardly delivered in season one when we encountered Blackface Jinx during the Christmas episode. But, like, y'all get it. We're just covering this, even though it's fucking disgusting.
We are covering it for posterity purposes. And
yeah, posterity's sake.
The
for
fact,
completion.
For, yeah, the fact that we are trying to do all of the Pokemon rewatch, including, you know, warts and all, really. Yeah.
I'm glad this was not dubbed. This is a bad episode with a shitty ass Pokemon,
you
like
know,
a shitty design. This should not have been done.
Right.
Good call.
First of all, you know, Jinx even existing as a Pokemon, questionable. Two, this episode, and I wonder if you feel the same way, like it feels like very out of place for Pokemon. Like there was a lot of moments in this, which I'm sure even without Jinx, like I'm sure if they had aired this, like there would have been parts outside of Jinx that would have been cut because they were so weird.
Oh, I wonder what you're talking about.
I'll get to it when we get to it. But I just also, I have one other quick question. I'm looking, I couldn't help myself. I'm sorry. I'm like an addict. I went to Bulbapedia to look, and they have two pictures. One of the original Jinx in its original form, and then one of its purple redesign.
I didn't know they did that for this episode. When? I know they did that for the Holiday High Jinx in the U.S., and I assume most, if not all, English-speaking countries and territories. That episode's gone. But in Japan, they reanimated Jinx, and I guess they did it in this episode, too, to be purple. But it looks like shit, right?
It's, oh, okay, there is a look at it. A blurb. It looks bad. I mean, it just looks bad in general. This purple redesign was a result of when the series came to Prime Video in Japan in 2017. So that's when they updated it.
Ooh, yeah, that looks bad. Like it just looks poorly done.
Yeah. All right, so here we go. We're going to do the ice cave, and my phone is over there, so I will have to count you down by using the Audacity timer.
Oh, fun!
All right, let's just do it in 3, 2, 1, go.
Satoshi, Kasumi, and Takashi arrive at the ice cave, where they find Joy-san and her assistant Pokemon, Rogelia. They all are attacked by Rokitodon, or the Rocket Gang, who makes Takashi sick by splashing with water, and then Brock and Jinx make out. It's disgusting. And then there's like this weird heater system in the ice cave. It makes no goddamn sense. There's a rainforest outside.
Time. What the? Oh my god. This is...
I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. I couldn't keep the name straight.
It's a lot. That was fun using the Japanese names that we don't normally ever get to hear or are privy to. So we have reached a giant mountain, which is the last obstacle standing between them and Fusube City, aka Blackthorn City. And Misty is lamenting that they have to climb yet another mountain, and I'm like, girl, same. And they reach a fork in the road that Ash, and I don't know if this is a translation thing, but it was damn funny. Yes, Austin?
This was my quote.
Oh.
We gotta talk about this in depth. Just, but I have other quotes, actually.
We can't just gloss over and come back to it. I feel like we have to talk about
this. No, this is a lot.
Do you want to say the quote?
You go it.
I don't have it exactly written down.
I do. Ash says, eh? A crotch?
A crotch? I have to know. I am, okay. If anybody is wondering, like, obviously a fork in the road is like a V shape, and so inverted, that looks like a fucking crotch, I guess. I don't know. Is this like a thing? Is this like a thing in Japanese? Like, is that just like common parlance? Like, what?
Okay. Here's my speculation.
Crotch.
The only subtitles I could find were ineptly done, and obviously we watched the same one. Apparently, the definition of crotch...
I'm going to learn something new today.
One of them is a fork in the road.
I have never in all of my time on this earth, I have ever heard that, ever.
So perhaps they got this from a dictionary, a translation dictionary somewhere.
Where's your source that you're reading that from?
It is... the Oxford Dictionary.
So according to the Oxford Dictionary, a synonym for fork is crotch.
Well, a fork in the road, specifically.
A crotch in the road?
It doesn't say archaic, but I've never heard
Can
that.
Can anyone, if you have knowledge of this, if you've ever heard this in your everyday, like, as a figure of speech, please tell us. Please write in and tell us, because I've never heard of this. And I'm just, obviously, I'm from the United States.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Maybe it's a British thing or something.
The crotch. I just...
We know we got UK listeners. Y'all, just reach out.
Please. I am just dying to know. Like, is this something that anybody in a different country has ever heard? Wow. Okay.
So we're off to a great start to this episode.
So we reach the crotch.
He doesn't even say a crotch on the road. He says a crotch.
It's just the crotch.
They're at a crotch.
They've reached the crotch. Brock breaks out the guidebook. If you go right at the crotch, you go down just a regular, ordinary mountain path. But if you take a left at the crotch, you go to the ice cave, which is a shortcut to Blackthorn.
If you go left at the crotch, they had to spend more money to make new backgrounds for them to animate.
If you take a left at the crotch, that's where the adventure is. So Team Rocket spying. They're spying on them from the bushes at the crotch. Oh, the crotch has a bush. Oh, my God.
Sorry, I need to have an audio reaction to that. Yeah. Good job, Alex. That was very good. Good job.
It just came to me. So they're hiding in the crotch bush. they claim they have an idea for when they get to the cave, and so they go gleefully try to enact their plan, whatever that may be. Meanwhile, in the ice cave, the twerps struggle to find their footing, and they're slipping and sliding all over the place, because that's fun.
Did you love in Gold and Silver going through the ice path and having to figure out the right route to go with your slipperiness?
I'm sure I loved it the first time I did it, but I probably subsequently hated it every other time I did it.
Oh, okay.
That's the thing about puzzles and games, right? Like, you do the puzzle the first time, and you're like, oh, okay, that was fun. But then every subsequent time where you ever replay that level, you're like, fucking God, I have to do this goddamn puzzle again. Like, it just becomes a chore.
I wonder what you think of Legend of Zelda. Anyway.
I'd probably be infuriated, because I've heard those puzzles are hard as shit, so.
They are.
The Water Temple.
Oh my God, fuck the Water Temple. Okay. I'm gonna stop myself.
Not
I'm
to trigger your childhood trauma, PTSD mm-hmm. from that. I do have, okay, speaking of the ice cave, though, I just have to point out, I fucking love the music. The music cues are so good.
In this episode?
In this episode in general, but this particular part where they're walking through the ice cave and it's kind of that glittery, cavey type of music.
Well, I guess I know what music I'm playing in the episode.
Please do. I loved it.
Do you want me to play it right now, or do you want me to play it in this 30-second summary?
Anywhere you want it.
No, you tell me.
Wherever it can get the most listening time, because I think it deserves it.
I guess it's playing right now.
It is playing right now.
That's fun. Okay.
Play it behind me, because it's so good.
For the rest of the episode, it's just on repeat. Just do it. It's in a loop.
It's so good, and it just made me think of you, and it made me think of our conversation. Well, because you're always talking about the music and how different it is.
Oh, well, we know Four Kids changes the music substantially.
And we're lesser for it, because the music is so much better, and they have to go and add their shitty dub music in half the time. It's just terrible. Anyway, this is the one good thing I can say about this episode and having to watch it is...
It's in Japanese.
Well, yes, but we get treated to the music, which we do not get as American listeners. Anyway, after some slipping and falling down an icy hill, they fall straight into a pitfall where they're like, what the fuck is this doing here? And two snowmen are scarily looming over them from the top of the hole. And Team Rocket does a motto that's like totally different that I didn't write down. Did you write it down?
It was a bad translation.
It was. Something about thrusting through the ice and something about snowman of truth or something. I'm not sure.
They used dub motto lines mixed in with Japanese motto lines. But they got the Japanese motto lines wrong, because when James says lovely charmy, they didn't include that. They changed it to something else. And also they like Mr. Freeze and Batman Forever-ified, or Batman and Robin-ified it, because there was like ice.
Sure.
Jokes there. It was bad. I'm so sorry to this fan subber. I know you tried your best.
They did. We can only just take what we can get, right? So thank you for doing something.
The God's work.
The God's
work. The Lord's work.
Arceus's work.
Arceus has forsaken this episode.
It turned its gaze away from this episode.
Oh, yeah.
Team Rocket straight up tries to kill the twerps by giving them hypothermia, by dousing them in cold water. Somehow they have, like, hoses and they start freezing them with cold water. But Politoed actually does something cool, and this may be, like, the one time I ever praise Politoed, because I think it, like, disappears after this episode. It fucking obliterated them. It shoots them straight through a mountain in, like, an explosion with just a water gun. So we take in the spectacular scenery of the ice cave, but it becomes very apparent very quickly that Brock is now suffering from pneumonia and starts to die right in front of them. And he decides that the only way to save all of themselves from dying of hypothermia is to find the ice cave Pokemon Center, because there's a Pokemon Center in the cave somehow. Too bad there wasn't a Pokemon Center in the game.
Or one of those nurse NPCs.
Oh, those were such a lifesaver in the later games where you, like, battle straight through, like, 20 trainers and you're, like, dying and you're out of potions and here comes the doctor who's like, I'll save you. So we get to the Pokemon Center and they go inside, and unfortunately, instead of a Nurse Joy there, there's a fucking Jinx. And it's just as horrible and disgusting as you remember it.
And this episode is now banned. Goodbye, episode.
Yeah. And it goes downhill from there. So Brock is deteriorated quickly and he's confined to the bed where he's become delirious with fever and starts having a orgasmic fantasy about Nurse Joy. Ash is a naive child and he's like, I wonder what's wrong with Brock and why he's getting so hot all of a sudden. And Misty's like, you're so innocent, Ash. Meanwhile, we get an interesting callback to an episode that I barely remember. If we rewind all the way back to the Orange Islands and that suntan Nurse Joy with the giant Magikarp, we see her photograph on the wall, and this Joy explains that that's her older sister.
What was the point of that?
Filling time. Filling time.
I guess. Cyndaquil, meanwhile, is choking in the corner.
Cyndaquil's dying. Oh, he's choking? I missed that.
No. Because the previous episode. Oh. Where we wasted like 20 seconds on that.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's fun to always get like a nod to like a continuity of some sort. But I legitimately don't remember that Orange Islands episode. Like, I barely remember it.
I remember it. It was a pretty good one. Tracy was like obsessed with her because she was the Florence Nightingale of the Pokemon or something.
Sure.
Ash nearly got drowned by a dugong.
Oh, yeah. Huh.
There was, of course, in Orange Island, Flash Storm.
Oh, the storm that rolled in 5 seconds?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, Orange Islands. It seems so long ago.
Happier times.
Happier times.
Jinx wasn't... Actually, I take it back. Jinx was in the Orange Islands.
But she got... It was less... It was enough to where she could be cut out.
No, it wasn't, because two of those episodes were cut out for the dub.
Wait, what episodes were those?
The one where they're on a traveling, like, performance boat, like a showboat.
Oh, was that, like... Oh.
With the Raichu?
Oh, with the theater troupe. Yeah. Oh,
right. I remember that. That whole episode got cut.
But we watched them, so.
Yeah, well. And Lorelai / Prima. She had a Jinx.
Oh, right. I forgot they got cut because we watched them.
God, fucking Jinx is in, pervasive. It's just a terror on the franchise.
Pervasive? I don't know what they were thinking.
Should we talk about Mega Jinx at all?
The fact that, okay, they could have just let Jinx fade into obscurity and never brought it back up again like they fucking did with Porygon. For no good reason whatsoever, but instead they fucking double down and make a Mega Jinx.
Thank God that did not come to fruition.
Yeah, but they were planning on it. So if you don't know what we're talking about, this was part of the leaks that have been ongoing for the past few weeks. And one of the leaked things that they found out was plans for a Mega Jinx. Why would they even... Why?
Ew, and she's so... It's a bad design.
I haven't even seen it. I heard about it, but I didn't see it.
Oh, you haven't?
No.
We gotta have a live reaction.
Okay, I'm gonna do a live... Oh, no, we did talk about this, because we talked about the hair.
Oh, okay, yeah, okay. I thought I showed that to you.
It's fucking ugly as shit.
It is awful. It's a finalized design, too, because it existed alongside the other Mega designs in the files.
Its eyes...
So this was the final design.
Its eyes are horrifying, by the way.
It is bad.
It's hair... It's a
bad design.
It's hair... So Austin and I did talk about this briefly. It must have been very briefly... They must have repurposed the hair into Alola Dugtrio, because it kind of looks similar. Although I think Alola Dugtrio is based off of Hanson, the band.
Oh, is that what that is?
Maybe. I heard that
somewhere. What a weird poll. Okay.
I'm not sure if that's, like, intended, but somebody said that, and now I can't think of anything else. Anyway, this is a horrible, horrible design. It's just terrible. So we get the cool nod to the Orange Island Joy fun. And Joy... I was a little bit confused at this part, and I think maybe it might be a consequence of the translation, but I think Joy was talking about how, because of climate change, there's barely any ice anymore. So they basically have to...
I missed the climate change line. That went over my head.
I don't think she says it verbatim like that, but the implication was, there's not very much ice here anymore in the ice cave, because it's all melted. So we have to basically refrigerate this cave with a man-made device... that pumps in the hot tropical air from outside and converts it into cool ice cave air.
Oh, I thought it was the opposite.
What?
I thought they created a giant device to maintain the cool temperatures inside the cave, and that created a backdraft of heat that created a tropical environment outside the cave.
That sounds more correct.
You know what this is not? This is not good conservation. You are playing God at this point.
They basically created a man-made tropical ecosystem.
And they made a cave into a refrigerator.
This is a way better explanation. I must have misunderstood the implication here. But yeah, that makes a lot more sense.
Does it? Does it make more sense?
Yeah, instead of... They weren't converting the air. They were... Because the ice was melting in the cave, they introduced this device, which in turn pumped out, like... the byproducts of the ice cave, like, cooling refrigerant, like, pumps it out into the opposite side of the mountain and turns it into, like, a sweltering sauna.
Does this exist? Are there giant refrigerators in caves that make things cool? Is this a thing?
I have no idea.
I can't imagine it is.
I'm gonna say no, but again, I'm not an expert on cave refrigeration, so... I mean, maybe unless you're, like, in a zoo or something,
Well, that's an artificial environment.
Like this is, kind of.
I guess it's a more artificial environment now.
Well, why did it get that way? I'm just saying, I filled in the blanks myself. And I'm like, okay, well, if the ice is melting, it's because of fucking climate change. We already know climate change and, like, pollution and shit is a thing in the Pokemon world. We've got, like, Pokemon that have resulted because of it, so.
What I extrapolated was different. I thought that the cave naturally warms, and that causes the ice shelf that's sealing up, like, a crater in the ceiling. Okay, so there's like a sheet of ice on the ceiling. And I thought naturally that's supposed to unfreeze and fall down over time. And then it refreezes in the winter or something. But because they built a Pokemon Center in the cave, they wanted to make sure that didn't happen because they didn't want to rebuild the center.
Oh.
They artificially froze this cave.
So
it would never melt.
Humans meddled where they shouldn't have meddled. Because the natural order of things was it's just a cyclical freezing and melting of the ice cave ceiling. But because they decided to go in there and build a Pokemon Center for some arbitrary reason, they didn't want the ceiling to fall down and crush the center. Ah.
But that doesn't make any sense. That in-world doesn't make any sense. So I think my interpretation's wrong.
But then why would they build a Pokemon Center there?
I don't know.
Whatever. Anyway.
It doesn't make any sense.
Draw your own conclusions.
Maybe it makes sense, and we're just not, the subtitles don't convey what they're trying to convey. How about that? Maybe that's possible.
Maybe.
Or maybe it's just a bad episode.
If you remove Jinx out of this episode, I guess I would have been curious to see how they would have explained this in English.
Okay, fair.
But anyway, I don't know. Anyway, so we get a boss fantasy, which is fun, in where Jinx, I guess this is more of a nightmare, honestly. Jinx wakes Giovanni up with a kiss. Swinub gives him a snow perm, and Piloswine sweeps his floors, and that's awesome and cool, and Giovanni definitely needs to have these ice Pokemon because that's how his day should start and end every day.
Wasn't the previous boss fantasy also ice Pokemon at Price's Gym?
I think it was. So Team Rocket stumbles upon the giant fridge machine, and they originally had a plan to, like, sell shaved ice. I don't really know why. So yeah, Team Rocket's doing some Team Rocket stuff, and honestly, I'm not really sure what their motivation is. Brock unfortunately experiences his first kiss with Jinx while he's in the throes of his feverish fantasy delusion, and he imagines Jinx is Nurse Joy and starts to make out with it. Okay, glossing over that, because I guess we don't really need to talk about that.
I don't want to talk about it. No. Spare me.
Jinx seems really thrilled by this, disgustingly. Joy gets a DEFCON 5 alert and runs to her situation room, where the readouts on her cave temperature indicators spell imminent disaster, because Team Rocket has fucked around with the fridge machine, so now the whole thing is in danger of caving in if it gets too warm in here. They go to discover where the source of the problem is, because they don't know it's Team Rocket at this point, but they go to see where the issue is and discover that the outflow pipes of the hot and cold air have been switched. So now the hot air is coming into the cave and the cold air is going out into the tropical area. And they decide that they have to switch them back because it's a disaster, ecological disaster.
It was already an ecological disaster.
Very true. While they work on that, Team Rocket has gone to the Pokemon Center. And Brock is the only one there, and he's sick, and he tries to confront them in his feverish state, and they have, like, an army of space heaters that they have now directed at the Pokemon Center, because I don't know why. And he tries to take them on all at once, and this is what I was talking about at the beginning, where I think even if they had aired this episode, if Jinx hadn't appeared and they were able to air it, I think they would have cut this scene out, because Brock calls out Geodude, and Arbok attacks Brock and, like, beats him on the floor of the cave.
God, poor Brock this episode.
I know. He, like, gets wrapped up by Arbok and beaten up, and Geodude is, like, knocked out, and,
fucking worthless.
Actually, Team Rocket, this is why I think this was such a shift, why it felt so different from normal Pokemon episodes, is that, but also, they managed to beat Ash and Misty, so Ash and Misty come back, too, and try to face them with Corsola and Totodile, and they get their asses handed to them as well.
You know who beat Corsola and Totodile?
I didn't want to talk about it.
Oh, me either. Okay, we'll just pass over that then. We'll skip over ahead, okay?
I feel like the implication is clear.
We'll find out in the MVP section, won't we?
Mm. ultimately, the day is saved because the cold air has the reintroduction of the cold air has empowered the Pokemon to fight back, and so Team Rocket blasts off again, and they make it through the rest of the cave to reach the lake on the other side, and that's it. And I want to just mention that I also love the music in the close because it's like a bluegrass dancing jig, and I love that.
Oh, Pokematari Monstatari.
Love it.
Am I saying that correctly? I have no fucking idea.
Are you? I'm just going to assume you are. But that was fun. That was a fun little song to end the thing.
We're going to see it in the dub, actually.
Really?
An instrumental version of that song is going to play in the dub.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
Okay. Well, okay, let's see if you remember, and we'll see if you can identify when it shows up.
I won't remember, but I'll try my damn best.
Okay, great.
All right, there we go. That's the ice cave. We are out.
Out of the ice cave.
Out of the ice cave.
Let's never go back.
I hope they don't.
Can you imagine if they had like a Journeys episode that was a sequel to this?
I think maybe they like knew better.
They know better. Okay.
All right. MVP, LVP quotes. Who's first?
Guess who got it? Guess who got it first?
You.
Yay.
Do it.
So my MVP, and we can co-sign this if we want to.
Your MVP?
Is Wobbuffet.
Oh my god. I love Wobbuffet in this episode.
Like we were alluding to, Wobbuffet kicked ass.
He did kick ass.
And so this is the thing that made this episode feel distinct to you, was Wobbuffet did something?
I mean, Wobbuffet has done something, like, previously in the other episodes that we've watched, but he barely gets any screen time as it is, so.
I think Jesse commanded him to do it, so Jesse remembered he existed. And so, guess what, Team Rocket? When you use Wobbuffet, you win. Every time. Without fail.
There's really no, I mean, it's the ultimate defensive Pokemon. There's really no beating it.
I don't know how Joy was able to beat them, but she did.
Well, she had the army of ice Pokemon that...
Oh, fair enough.
...ganged up.
Wobbuffet can't handle everything. My LVP is going to be Nurse Jinx... Or Nurse Jinx. Yeah! Nurse Jinx! Because we don't sexually assault our patients.
And we just... We don't exist as Jinx. We just don't.
No, all that too. Oh, and the Jinx of it all.
Yeah.
My first thought was, Jinx is a Pokemon, and like Smoochum, it sees the world through its sensory input of its lips.
Disgusting.
So it's not actually kissing Brock.
No, it is.
That's the thing. As a first, I was like, oh, it's just checking on him. But then, no, it blushes and it's like, oh, I can kiss the Brock. No, Jinx is actually sexually assaulting Brock. So Jinx gets like a quadruple LVP for that.
Can we co-sign on that too? Actually, I have a different MVP, but.
Oh, okay.
I do want to co-sign on the Jinx of it all because it's just a bad Pokemon. Your quote, though.
I have several.
I have none.
From these questionable subtitles.
I literally have one, so...
Okay, mine is going to be when the Twerps get into the Pokemon Center, Nurse Joy walks up and she says, in the subtitles, what do you want?
Oh my god.
It was so funny. I don't know why.
It's funny because it's so off the cuff, but also I could imagine some disgruntled healthcare workers talking like that. If you were stuck in a Pokemon ice cave, Pokemon Center with a Jinx, maybe you'd be a little bit pissed off too.
Clearly, that's not...
No, she was cheerful when she said it.
Yeah. It was the bad translation. It was funny.
Obviously, to a non-native English speaker... Framing it as, like, if you took it out of, like, everything and just distilled it down to the question it's asking is, well, what do you want? Like, what is it that you want, maybe? Like, I obviously, to us, it's like when somebody says, what do you want? It's a very negative thing. Like, you're annoying the shit out of me. What do you want? Maybe she meant to say, maybe it was like a...
How can I help you?
Yeah. What the fuck do you want? All right. So, I have the same LVP. It's Jinx. But my MVP, I'm going to give it to the crotch.
Oh, fair enough.
Because I think we spent a good, like, 20 minutes talking about the crotch, and it was so wildly unexpected. I just, it really was...
It was like, the first thing that happened.
It was such a good lead-in to such a bad episode. My quote is the only thing I wrote down, and it's when Brock is fighting Team Rocket, and he says, Geodude, punch Arbok.
Oh. Maybe we should watch subtitles for every episode moving forward.
I'm assuming he meant, like, tackle or something, but the fact that he just was like, punch Arbok, I was like, all right.
Oh, too funny.
Oh my god, okay. That is it. Any final thoughts on either of those two episodes?
That was a lot.
That was a lot. We had fun.
All right, so.
What's on the docket for next week, Austin?
What does Nurse Joy have on her itinerary for us?
Maybe the ice cave, like, collapses and just puts us all out of our misery.
And then the Orange Islands, Nurse Joy, like, rowboats in to save everyone because it's all flooding and there's, like, a river. And she's like, get on my boat, pile of swine. Jinx, you stay here and die.
You said that, but you know what that just reminded me of? I think, I don't know why this sticks with me, for why it's like one of my favorite episodes that we've ever done, but the Blood Moon Marooned episode.
That was a good one.
God, that was all the way back in like, was that season one?
That was Orange Islands.
Oh, was that Orange Islands with the Kabuto Island?
Orange Islands was good shit and we didn't appreciate it while we were there.
God, it seems so long ago. I'm conflating it with the wrong season, but... Oh my God, the flooding of like the Kabuto Island, and it was like a disaster movie for like 1 second. It was great.
Unhinged. I love it.
It was unhinged.
So next week, Beauty is Skin Deep.
Huh.
What do you think that is?
That's an interesting title is what that is.
Mm.
Beauty is Skin Deep. The Buffalo Bill episode. I don't know.
It's the twerps end up in a Team Rocket pitfall trap and they get their skin cut off.
Mm.
And there's a dog.
Yeah.
Okay, so the next episode is Fangs for Nothing.
Fangs for Nothing. Something about the dragon fang.
Ooh.
Maybe.
Hey.
Maybe. We'll see. I literally don't remember.
I vaguely remember. All right, that's it.
Okay. Wow, that's exciting. Look forward to that next week. Oh my gosh. Hopefully we're cheery and upbeat next time we see you on Out of the Drawing Pan.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to get in touch with us and let us know about the crotch thing, because I'm really just burning with curiosity, you can always get in touch with us. What? Awesome, done. Get in touch with us. Reach out to us on our Gmail, outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. Again, outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. Or follow us on Twitter @outofdryingpan. Again, that is outofdryingpan. We also have an Instagram that you can reach out to us on @outofthedryingpan. And of course, we have a Patreon. If you like what we do, if you want to support our crazy antics, please check it out. We've got some really cool bonus content, notes, fan fictions, all kinds of fun things you can check out over there. And as always, we just want to say thank you all for listening and join us next week as the journey continues.